Hello, everyone. Last time we looked at the external causes of unjust anger, and today we are continuing with John Downham's book, The Cure for Unjust Anger, looking at the internal causes. You mentioned several of them. One of them is just a lack of meditation on human infirmities. He references James 3:2, passage that James says, we all stumble in many ways. And we have to keep that in mind when we are considering the offenses of others and our own offenses. If we're not thinking clearly that we ourselves offend in ways equal to those of others, then we're going to be less charitable, less loving, and more demanding in our relationships. We're going to be quicker to anger. He says, for if we only considered that in many ways or many things we all offend, and that we have the same or greater faults as those we see in others, we would not be so quickly moved to anger over every trifling occasion. You might recall last time we saw that small offenses were an external cause. Well, those small offenses are due to a lack of meditation on human infirmities. Those go hand in hand. Another cause he mentions, he gives a couple, and I view them in the same category here, vain curiosity and tale-bearing, or gossiping, and given over to tale-bearing. So he mentions being gossips and having itching ears. Let me read a couple of pieces here on pages 45 and 46. He says, the fifth internal cause of unjust anger is curiosity, by which people are tickled with a vain desire and itching appetite to see and hear all things. Give some examples. How their friends behave themselves in private meetings, what their adversaries do and say behind their backs, or how their servants act in every corner. From this desire to know all things, they also know many things that displease them and provoke them to anger. They can thank their own vain curiosity for this. He quotes Ecclesiastes 7:21, take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. But by their inquiry after every rumor, and their curious prying into small domestic faults, they inflame their hearts with great anger. He, a little bit later, goes on and talks about tale-bearing. He says, the sixth cause is to have an open ear to the gossip of all tale-bearers, along with a credulous heart to believe them. Proverbs 26:20 says, where no wood is, there the fire goes out. So, where there is no tale-bearer, the strife ceases. As wood is fuel for the fire, so the tale-bearer is fuel for anger. So what these two causes have to do with, vain curiosity and tale-bearing, is that we have this desire to know all things that might even slightly pertain to us. We have to know what someone said about us. We have to know what someone did that might affect how we interact with them. We have to know, we have to know, we have to know. We have to hear, we have to hear, we have to hear. And Downham says, the more you know, the more cause you would have for anger. Now, of course, people gossiping about you is sinful, but also desiring to know what they have to say about you is only going to lead to some problems. You want to know the truth, certainly, but how are you going to respond? Are you so preoccupied with self that you have to know everything around you. And that's, you know, a fundamental problem with that, of course, is that you are deifying yourself. You are making yourself to be God. You have this demand that you know all things. Yeah, these itching ears. And Dunham says, if you give yourself over to that temptation to hear all and know all, then you're opening yourself up to greater anger. Because the more things that are said about you, well, what's going to happen? There are more occasions for you to be angry, sinfully so. Another cause is fastidiousness or over-scrupulosity. So here we have in mind that there are these particular expectations of the way the things have to be. So it's not like there is a particular command in Scripture that you have to have, you know, the fork on the left side of the plate. But if that's how you want things, it's not a bad thing to have the fork on the left side of the plate. But if you are so insistent on that being the case, then any time the fork goes on the right side of the plate, you are opening yourself up for anger, right? What are you doing? It doesn't go on the right side. It goes on the left. How many times have I told you? And on and on. A fastidiousness leads to a quickness to anger because you have this desire for the way things must be, and that desire turns into a demand. It's not bad to have some desires. That you have a way that you operate. Okay, you have your books on the shelf, and the counseling books go on one shelf, and the theology books go on another shelf. And sure, if they get mixed up, then you can just say, let's put these books in their proper shelves. And it's not bad to have that kind of desire. But then if somebody messes with the order, if you are fastidious, over scrupulous, that desire might turn into a demand. And now that you've demanded that the books be here and those books be there, you are opening yourself up to sinful anger every time that demand is not obeyed. Speaking of desires, there's also covetousness. Now, James 4, 1 and 2 speak about this. James says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Why do you guys fight? He says, is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. Coveting is basic to our sinful anger. We have a desire, again, and when that desire is dashed, when that desire turns into a demand that's not obeyed, when your will or how things must be is not obeyed by someone else, whether knowingly or unknowingly. Sometimes we impose our desires and demands on other people without them knowing. But regardless, whether they knew it or not, when your desire and demand is not met, you become angry. And sometimes we impugn motives. Maybe they did something intentionally to disobey your desire, your will. But we see in this text that our desires are foundational to whether or not we're going to be sinfully angry. So when you have a desire for the way things ought to be, and again, these could be good desires, you need to ask yourself, how strongly do you desire that? And what is going to happen if you don't get that desire? If nobody meets that, are you going to sin because you didn't get it? Are you going to sin to hold on to it? If you are willing to sin to make sure that that desire be met, well, that's become an idol. You're going to sin to keep it. That's an idol. Foundationally, also, these internal causes, Downing mentions self-love and pride. So Cain loved self over Abel. Saul, in 1 Samuel 18, he loved himself more than he loved David. So he was angry when David was honored more than Saul was honored. Nebuchadnezzar was full of pride. Daniel 3:19, and Haman, he was not honored by Mordecai, and that set Haman off to plot the destruction of the Jews in Esther 3, 5, and 6. Again, self-love, pride, these go hand in hand, and it's because we esteem ourselves more than we ought. It's because and think about ourselves more than we do others. We love ourselves more than we love other people, and so we regard our offenses lightly. When we sin against someone else, if we even recognize it as a sin, we would view it lightly. It's a molehill. But when they sin against us, when they offend us, well, we've heightened their offense. We've magnified their offense, and their offense is now a mountain compared to our molehill of an offense. And that has to do, again, with a higher self-estimation and a lower other estimation. We are not preferring others to ourselves. We're preferring self to others. We exalt ourselves. We love ourselves. We are arrogant, and we want our way. And because of our commitment to self, we are so quickly angered because we are not being listened to. Our desires are not being met. We are not being thought of as much or as well as we think we desire, or we think that we ought to be thought of, listened to, obeyed, etc. So, fundamentally, the internal cause of anger is too high a view of self. We have to be the ones who hear what others say of us. We have to be the ones who we have a certain way that things have to be in our lives. And nothing's going to get in our way unless the one who does get in our way is going to feel the wrath because our desires weren't met. And so how do you see, ask yourself this, how do you see yourself preferred over others and the resultant anger? Where does self-love manifest? And as a result, how do you hurt other people because you prefer yourself to other people? These are some important questions to consider as we have considered many ways that we are angry. For a lot of these episodes, we've just been diagnosing the problem. We've just been gathering data and seeing how we have sinned against other people. Next time, we will begin with the solution of removing causes and putting off sinful anger and growing in love and growing in obedience to God and preferring others to ourselves. I hope this was helpful. Certainly not everything that could be said was said, but we will keep going through this book. We're about halfway done. We'll see you later. Bye-bye.